I'm Christian Abbott.
I'm Nathan Lavender.
I'm Sean Abbott.
And this is the Red Mist Podcast.
Hello, and welcome to the Red Mist Podcast, Season 3, Episode 38. Christian, you're going to like this one. 38. You're going to like this. It's the 2024, number 38, Porsche 963 of Yoda Sport.
Oh, yes. I like that. That is very
good. So, I escaped NASCAR this week, mm-hmm. Thank God. We got the number 38 one. And that one is driven by Felix DaCosta, Will Stevens, and Yifei Ye. It's not exciting.
That's right. Is that the one with the win on the... You know what?
No, the one with the win had Callum Ilott.
Oh, that was the 12th. That was Brady's car.
Yeah, Brady's car had the win. So, anyway.
All right.
So it's sponsored by Hertz, Singer, and Brady. Anyways, all right, that's exciting. Although next year there'll be Cadillacs,
right? Well, I mean, and the good thing is that there'll be two of them at least.
Two, yes. So exciting. All right. On this week's episode, we'll talk NASCAR at Kansas. Good, an outside the box winner, which was exciting. A lot of tire trouble, which led to a lot of guys getting in trouble. And then we'll talk a little European Le Mans at Mugello, for the 4 hours of Mugello, which is just a long enough race there.
I like the four-hour races that ELMS does, because they do Mugello, Imola.
Well, they also have three classes of cars, too.
Right.
They have LMP2, LMP3, and you have GT3.
Yeah, I mean, IMSA's got three classes too when they go running.
Well, in the long races.
I mean, even in some of the short races, they do too.
No, it's either hypercar or it's either GTP or GT3. LMP2 is only in the endurance races.
Yeah.
That's exciting.
And I call myself a racing podcaster.
Yeah.
It's fine. I don't know what goes on in NASCAR anyway.
And we'll get into a whole week of news and notes. Lots of news.
Plenty of news.
Plenty of news. I almost screwed up the news. I had it in a certain order. lots of stuff going on. All right. Start with NASCAR, and congratulations to Ross Chastain. Took the win. Followed by William Byron, Martin Truex, Ryan Blaney. That was exciting.
Cool. Yeah. Great.
Unfortunately, a lot of guys had tire trouble. Like Larson, he blew a tire. Mm-hmm. It was just all sorts of stuff like that. Tyler Reddick blew a tire. Briscoe. Not a fun weekend. But more importantly, it was the first race of the next round of the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
Let's take a look.
I don't know what happens. I didn't watch anything. I think the only highlight I saw was Chastain smashing a watermelon.
So right now, that's all you need to see.
So I can't tell you what else happened this weekend.
No, it was a good race. it was between Chastain and Kyle Busch, and Kyle Busch crashed out.
Yeah. I mean, so, isn't Kansas usually a good race to...
It is. It's perfectly fine. It's a great race. But for whatever reason, the tires were blown out.
Yeah. And I'm not crapping on Kansas. I just... It's like any other NASCAR weekend for me. I just don't.
No, but there was. Yeah, but
really prioritize it.
But there's a lot. They can run different lines and stuff. So it's.
Yeah, yeah.
On track.
No, anyways, it's definitely one of the better ones.
Talking. Let's talk point standings here. William Byron is our new points leader, followed by Blaney, Christopher Bell, Larson, Hamlin, Bowman, Chase Elliott, and Joey Logano.
Cool.
It's exciting.
Yeah. I got nothing else.
Yeah, but next week we're off to Talladega.
Wait a minute. No, I do have a question for NASCAR.
Yes.
Did they end under green, white, checkered?
No.
No, they did not. They ran the
prescribed
distance?
Yes, they did.
Was there a caution within the last 10 laps?
No.
None.
No.
All right.
No.
2 weeks in a row, they've been good boys.
Yeah.
All right.
I mean, Chastain really did it. I mean, ran really well.
Oh, that's fine. I gotta keep up to date on my spreadsheet and keep track of these guys of whether we're doing green, white checkers or not.
Yeah, I mean, we you know, it's the way it goes.
Yeah.
Yeah, because Busch crashed out with 30-something laps to go.
Ah.
So, and that was the final caution.
I have Carson Hocevar spins on lap 244.
What's that do?
That was just another caution that happened.
No, but there was 267 left in the race.
Yeah, there was 267 in the race. Yeah.
So, anyways. So. That's where we're at. It's very exciting.
All right.
Hold on. Let's just get a little more points run down here. Of course not, Dave. Why would you put the points standings in here? Jesus.
Yeah.
People wonder why I don't watch NASCAR. All right. So they're off to Talladega for the 500. Talladega 500.
They didn't race at Dega early in the year, did they?
Yeah, they did.
They did.
Didn't they? I don't know. I can't.
I just had this up.
All right. So we're moving on. Moving on. All right. Next up, the European Le Mans Series was at Mugello. This was a interesting race in the sense that it was the fifth different winner in the European Le Mans Series this season at the top.
Hmm.
Overall winner, I should say.
That's pretty
good. Which I think is, yeah, it's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Pretty cool. And the winner this time was the Iron Lynx Orica 07 with Christian Reed's son, the team owner's son, driving. Matteo Caroli and Mario Capietto driving. Very, kind of a wild, I thought wild race. In the sense that, you know, it was a unfortunate yellow flag, not red flag, when one of the, Ferraris got, there was like a pack of four running down the front straight. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if the Iron Dames, Porsche misjudged the move they went right and then they came back and went left. So I don't know if they swept them, but they flipped the rear bumper. Mm-hmm. And the Ferrari just went, turned right into the wall. It was a mess.
Yeah.
And then, so they had to clean that up and they had to kind of fix the wall a little bit. So. It's all good. but it took the Iron Dames out of the race. And they move on to Portimao next.
Yeah, that'll be an interesting one. I mean, their schedule is pretty interesting.
It is.
Whole. I mean, they do. Every race is a 4-hour race. They run it. They kick. This season's schedule was Barcelona, Paul Ricard, Imola, Spa, Mugello this past weekend, and then their last race is Portimao.
That's a
good.
It's a good series. Yeah. It's competitive. It has, you know, the LMP2s, the LMP3s, and the GT3s. So a lot of good stuff there. I like it because the GT3, the LMP3s are in there. So I enjoy that. So. So they'll move on. So just this weekend coming up, besides Talladega, no F1. We're still on hiatus.
Yep, enjoying our fall break.
SRO, though, we are at Indianapolis for the 8 hours.
Yes.
Which, that'll be good. And then... we also have some other SRO America action, though, like the GT4 Cup and things like that. But big news out of this is in the GR Cup, this is Toyota's GR Cup series, we have a guest driver.
We do? Or they?
Not we, but no. No, in the series, there is a guest driver.
Oh. Who's making their appearance?
The one and the only Keanu Reeves.
Are you serious?
Dead serious, yes.
Oh, man. Hold on, I gotta see this. When did he announce this?
This was as reported on Daily Sports Car.
Oh, well, you can tell why I missed that then.
Why? You don't tune in to Daily Sports Car? I don't even think it was on Sports. Was it on Sports Car 365?
Not on my regular basis.
No, these guys didn't have it either. Oh, you know what else is also here? The GT2 cars run.
Do they?
Yeah.
GT2. Wait a minute. So the
20. Yeah. Well,
is the GT2s all? Is it all the that's, historic, or is it? Or is
no,
still
no, 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 no. It's still that, you know, rich guy, bigger than a GT3 car, but a GT2 car class.
Yeah.
So, but the you know they're running. It's all like bronze drivers.
Oh.
Let's see if they have the entry list. Hold on a second. Twenty cars.
All right, not bad.
Let's see what we got. Oh, somehow Johnny O'Connell is driving in this. How? I don't know. The GT2? It is. I don't think that's right. Doesn't sound right.
All right. Well, I guess we need to.
Hold on. Oh, there's it's mixed in into the GT3 race. There's a separate GT3 race, and before I say it's a wide field, it's two cars. there's an Audi. R8 and a Mercedes AMG. Ah, fake me out with that headline. Anyways. All right. So, big news. Big news there. Keanu Reeves. Welcome to the world of sports car racing.
Welcome. Good luck. Have fun.
Good luck. Yeah. Pretty exciting.
Yeah.
Those cars look pretty cool. Those Toyota GR cars.
Yeah. Yeah, they are pretty cool. Nice.
Pretty sweet. So,
all right.
Exciting. All right.
IndyCar news.
IndyCar news. Alex Rossi to Ed Carpenter Racing.
Did we talk about that last week?
I don't know.
No, we didn't.
We talked about Rinus VK not driving.
Yes, yeah, and then we were like, oh, is this where right. he's going? Oh, maybe, we don't know. And then we were like, yeah, okay.
Alex Rossi he's driving going there.
Yep.
Michael Andretti, no longer part of the ownership group at Andretti Global.
Yeah, do you know?
No, I have not. All I have read is stories. I have not read one in-depth story, so I have to assume that fairly soon, I would probably, you know, I think Marshall Pruitt will have the whole story. He hasn't had anything this week on it. I think okay. he's been off on vacation, so I'm sure that when he gets back, there'll be a story. There's been a lot of just surface stuff, but the folks from Gamebridge have kind of, Dan Towers has taken over ownership. Well, he's assumed the ownership role of the team.
Mm-hmm.
But there is some other company that apparently has Michael and Zach Brown in it. So no one really knows what's going on. So
yeah.
And then it was WT Andretti Cadillac in IMSA or whatever they're going to be. Whether they're going to be Cadillac. So now it's just back to WTR Cadillac Racing. I think they still own the group, but they took the Andretti off the. I don't know. There's something going on that is. It's probably something that's going on to get Cadillac and that group into F1.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe it was Michael has to stand down somehow or what. But I don't know enough. I've read stories, but I just haven't got anything really super interesting on it. So. Or in that's insightful.
Yeah, I was gonna say I saw the Zach Brown thing and I was just like I didn't want to read any further into it because I just know that it's gonna be a huge.
Yeah, it seems very much a cluster.
No one had really reported other than just the headline of, oh, he's stepping down. I'm like, what do you mean he's stepping down? Like, there's no way. He's not continuing with racing because there's no way that Andretti would just stop racing at all or stop being involved in racing at all.
So, I don't know. We'll see what happens.
Yeah.
Anyway. More to come, I think, on that.
Yeah,
definitely. Elsewhere in IndyCar, we're going to Dallas. Street Circuit. Around the
when did that get announced? I missed that one.
Last week.
No.
Isn't it? Yeah. Very exciting. Not.
I'll be damned.
Yep. I have zero interest in that race.
Why?
You can. I don't know. What? Me having zero interest? Or...
No. I did. Like, why? Why do this when you have COTA sitting right there or Texas Motor Speedway?
Right. Well, yes. Yes, exactly. Thank you. Or why don't you? Yeah, you could have gone one of those two, or could we have not gone to Walk in the Fun?
Yeah, this.
Yeah. I don't know right now what's going on with IndyCar.
I would have.
Yeah. It's turned into Formula One. We got to go to street circuits.
So, yeah.
No passing, parade races, crashes, you know, so all sorts of stuff. in testing news, Jamie Chadwick and Felipe Drugovich tested. So, Barber, we had Felipe Drugovich and Jamie Chadwick doing a test today. Well, I shouldn't say today. Yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Drugovich was in the Chip Ganassi racing car. and Jamie was in the Andretti car.
Yeah, I saw. Well, I mean, you mentioned last week that Chadwick was. There was some rumors or rumbling.
Yeah, she's
getting
trying
a ride.
Not so much getting a ride, but working on a deal to get some rides.
I mean, trying to get a test day at least in the car.
Well, the test, and then yeah, the test day Andretti had said, but
yeah,
but there, you know, so apparently did quite well, as did Dragovic. So,
but Dragovic, I was a bit more shocked that he was the one in the car.
In what car? In the Ganassi car?
Just there at an IndyCar test. I hadn't heard his name get thrown around too much in comparison to some others.
It's been kicked around.
Okay.
It's been kicked around. Because he's going to get kicked out of F2 this year. I think he's leading the points, right?
No.
He's leading the points?
No, he was champion in 22.
Oh, so he got kicked. He's out. Anyway.
This year he's been the Aston Martin test and reserve driver.
But alongside with that,
he's been doing sports car racing in prototypes to fill his time.
All right. So, anyways, so there we go.
So yeah, did you want to go into your IndyCar charter rant this week?
No, we'll save that for a little bit later.
Later today or later?
Later. Let's get through the news here. we can get back to that. And then Ed Carpenter Racing has a new ownership structure.
Yes. Did that come out with the Rossi announcement, or was that...
No, just before.
Before. That was where they talked about a new sponsor and all that.
Yes, okay. Splenda.
Right.
Well, anyways, the company, the folks that bought into the, what was it, I forget, Heartland Foods, they make Splenda.
Yes.
That was pretty... There we go. So, I think that helped seal the deal with Rossi, so that's pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think Rossi alluded to the fact that between the restructuring the sponsor that was able to come on and the charter spot for ECR, it made it a much more appealing deal.
Yes. All right. Sports car news. It all centers around one team, Paul Miller Racing. They will move from one car to two car in GTD Pro for next year. And Brian Sellers is stepping out of the driver's cockpit for Paul Miller Racing and moving over to, what is it, DXDT. DXDT. It's actually owned by Oliver Askew's dad. And he's going to be the program manager, but I'm not sure if he's... I think he may end up driving, but not sure. Mm-hmm. So they run two Corvette CR, whatever,
GT3,
Z06, GT3, whatever, So maybe with him coming over, maybe they're looking to possibly move on to IMSA.
Maybe, yeah. Yeah, that would be good.
You know, so... that'll be good. I mean, he's driven for 20 years. He looks like he's like 24. Like in his 40s. Pretty cool. But good for him.
Mm-hmm.
Elsewhere, we move on to Formula One. And Formula One. And Daniel Ricciardo. Unceremoniously dumped by Red Bull.
Yeah.
Not cool. Anyway, should have been after the season. I understand, you know, I want to see Lawson in the car too, but there is somebody else
on that in that quartet of drivers that should have been dumped well before Daniel. So,
well,
still leave it at that. But he still may be dumped.
I think the only.
And there is rumors that there is rumors he could be sacked after Mexico.
There is, but then Sergio puts out a tweet that he's not leaving.
Well, that's like when the manager gets the full faith and backing of the ownership group, and then 2 weeks later gets his shown the door.
Yeah, I was gonna say, not that I don't believe, I believe Perez in him thinking he'll stay, because I'm sure he's probably been given every reassurance, but the only outlier is that he's driving for Red Bull Racing, so
right.
you can get let go at any point, but I do, if I was gonna place any bets, I would say nothing will be switched around until the off season. If Lawson or Sonoda does well enough in these next couple of races, because I mean, the other thing too is like I feel bad for Ricardo, but it just makes Red Bull look more and more ridiculous right now, because ever since they did the switch with Verstappen and then they won in his first race with the team, which was just ridiculous in itself, they have yet to make a switch that's been successful, and then they go and sign Perez after the fact, which is like the first time they've gone really outside their young driver pool, and then they also don't give De Vries a chance. Let me rephrase that. They signed De Vries to Toro Rosso last year, and then and again have gone outside of their young driver pool.
Mm-hmm.
Go with him, and then he's kicked out. You bring back Ricardo.
Right.
So again, you're not going with one of your younger guys, and then Ricardo gets hurt. Lawson goes in. They put Ricardo back in for all this, and now we're at Lawson. Lawson should have. I forget the timing of it, but if instead of having De Vries in last year, they probably should have just put in Lawson.
Yeah.
And then just stuck with him through all of this. Just at this point, hindsight 2020. But the other thing too is because they've essentially ruined their pool of what they have. And I mean, granted, they're starting to rebuild it to some degree because they have a few guys that are starting to come up through F3 and F2 that could be promising for them. But again, once they signed, or when they chose to go with Honda, they picked up the contractual obligation of having a Japanese driver drive a Honda motor. So then Sonoda's been stuck in the seat, and clearly they're not confident in Sonoda, because otherwise they would have promoted him by now.
Mm-hmm.
Out of all this. So, and then they actually, and then go back another step further. You promote Pierre Gasly and then demote him back into the team, and then Gasly stays there forever until he finally decides, I'm going to go and make a career of my own. So, I mean.
And don't forget they, put Max in with Carlos Sainz, and they should have brought them both up, and they didn't.
Yes. That should have been done, but also I think like the other thing about this Ricardo situation is like I feel bad for Daniel, because you don't want to see him get let go like this. You'd rather have him finish out the season, and, you know, when it's like, all right, end of the season is end of the season, and then after that you got to go find a different ride because it's not going to be with us. But it, in some other sense, like, he has kind of just done it to himself, because you don't really mm-hmm. have anyone else to blame but yourself in this kind of scenario. And it's not like he's really been, when he left Red Bull, it wasn't like he was going out and dominating teammates either, because when he went to McLaren, it was like, all right, you're not really, or I think Lando was pretty much keeping up with him at least, or beating him.
Yes.
So everyone was, so then you're like, all right, we'll give him a year because it's a new team, new car, and, you know, you got to figure it out. And then by the second year, it was right. It still wasn't any better. Renault, he was definitely better than Hülkenberg, but it was probably more 50-50, because I don't really recall anything substantial aside from a podium or two that he had with Renault. So, I mean, it's not like he's really gone away from Red Bull and had a ton of success. Yes, he won in Monza with McLaren. However, they told Lando to hold position because Lando was clearly faster, but they would rather have the team secure a 1-2, and having Lando in second, I think, worked out better for them anyways.
Yeah.
So it's kind of a bittersweet win in that sense, but yeah. So, I mean, tough pill to swallow, but
yeah, it is.
Ultimately, does Ricardo deserve more better send off than this? Of course, is.
Yeah, I think it should have been. If he was getting booted, it should have been after Austin.
Yes, and that's the other thing too. Is like, you just completely missed, you know, an opportunity.
Yeah, exactly.
With them, and then and this is not a bash on Lawson at all. Like, I think oh, he has plenty of promise, and I think he will do a good job of filling that charismatic void that Ricardo had in Red Bull once he kind of like settles in a little bit, maybe more.
Because
I mean, watching him post stuff on social media and all the stuff that he's doing or wanting to do or whatever, like, he's an interesting kid. I think he'll be fine. So,
no problem. I think, who knows? You could see both Liam and Yuki going to Red Bull next year, because if Max decides he's out, you know?
Yeah. Or, you know, maybe it'll be George Russell.
Because somebody was testing a Ferrari 296 today.
Oh, was he?
Yes, in the wet.
I heard.
And it was. And it was in the. What's their team?
Team Redline.
Yeah, it was in Team Redline colors.
Yeah. Well, but he's had that partnership and stuff set up. Like, I think that's
funny. It was just funny that he was doing that today, and it's like I'll let you finish what you were gonna say.
I don't know. I got nothing. I'm good.
Because I think the whole incident in Singapore or Baku? Singapore, right? Yeah, that was the last race.
Either one. Where
they came out and they said all the stuff, and then you know, of course, Lewis like was like, you know, like really to like about the whole, because they claimed it to be we're athletes, not rappers.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I don't blame Lewis for getting up in their face about that, because I thought that was kind of a, you know, it was just a BS comment, you know, from the FIA. But you know, I think Max has kind of had enough of that, you know. So who knows? Maybe Max will be
Coming to IMSA. Who knows? Who knows?
I think he has some concerns of sports car racing and how BOP is done. So I don't think he'll. I don't know. I mean, he can go do whatever he wants.
Let me put it this way. He leaves Formula One, he will not become an IndyCar.
No, and I think
he doesn't want to race the ovals, and I don't. Yeah. That's fine. He was not brought up racing ovals, and it doesn't mean anything.
Although, if you're not, if Ricardo is having any doubts of what he should do next, if he still wants
but he doesn't want to do the ovals either.
No, I know, but he could go do Le Mans, and then if he gets the win done at that
point. Oh yeah,
at that point, I don't think
he has the fortitude to win the 500. I think somebody like Alonso could win the 500.
Well, I think any of these guys. I think of the drivers that have the potential to win or to accomplish the Triple Crown, I think they'll be in the conversation more, and you'll at least get it in their head a little bit of like giving them the idea of like, yeah, I could do it. And I don't think that when push comes to shove, I don't think they would actually be all that scared going around on the ovals and doing it. That's also the mindset of a racing driver where you can't have fear at all when you're doing this stuff to begin with. Yeah. So,
but you know, also if it's not in your comfort zone, you shouldn't be in it.
Yeah.
Because that's when a mistake happens. So, you know, it's like, you know, IndyCar guys going to NASCAR thinking they can do it. It's not easy. You know? So. Yeah. But, anyway. I think that covers Formula One. Anything else? Nothing on the Sauber front.
No, just. I don't know. Seems like Bottas is going to be the driver for next season.
Yep.
Yeah, I don't really have much else. Renault is not going to be making engines in 26. That stinks.
That's right. Forgot about that.
Yeah, which means it'll just be 3 engines? Or is it 10? Mercedes, Ferrari, Honda, and then Red Bull powertrain. But Red Bull.
Yeah.
Oh, no. I'm sorry. But Red Bull will be rebadged as Ford.
Yeah. It'll be 4 manufacturers.
Okay. All right.
And then if Cadillac GM comes, that would be 5.
Yep.
All right. Do we want to go down the talk about
the charter system in IndyCar?
Yeah.
Okay. I have a couple questions because I guess my only thing is it looks like they're trying to become F1, and
yes,
and in listening to Rossi's reasons about why he signed with Ed.
It seems
like a better deal for the smaller teams within IndyCar currently.
Okay.
Just because it's more of a guaranteed spot, and then I guess the actually we should state that the charter system is locking in a set amount of teams and cars within the teams for every race except the Indy 500. So
yeah.
So what makes the Indy 500 special is still there. So anyone can show up. Anyone can try and get in. And if there's more than 33 entries, then there will be bump day. So that still exists, which is good because that's something special about that event that should stay mm-hmm. that way forever. And it's what a lot of other series should consider doing too, because I think it makes it interesting, because if you're not guaranteed to even make the race, then that just shows how hard it is to get into in the first place. The only other thing that I really questioned was, does this get towards a series where you've locked in only you've basically capped the number of entries that can get into IndyCar?
Right.
Okay, so then Prema has really gotten the short end of the stick.
Yeah. There's no incentive right now for a new team to come in, but at the same point, they're advocating and saying that there's tons of drivers that want to come in the series. Well, this is the same problem with F1. If you got drivers with money, or let's put it this way, teams that want to enter, that creates opportunities for more drivers. And there's a lot of F2 guys that are much more capable than Stroll, who bring money. But at the same point, the IndyCar guys, a lot of the F2 drivers can bring their backing, and it's the same cost as an F2 season, pretty much. But what's happening now? You're not. You've limited where they can run, and they're not going to run for teams. Unless you're running at Dale Coyne, mm-hmm. and at Dale Coyne, there if you. You can't have like five driver changes in a car, or you know how like they bounced around, had different driver changes, things like that. You're being limited and out of that. This is going to blow up in their face so bad it's not even funny. Mm-hmm. And it's 25 cars, so that's whatever's in the field right now. And then so if Prema comes in, it's 27. The fields are going to be capped at 27. So if two more teams can, this is why Pratt Miller didn't come, because they weren't going to get one. They were going to be the 28th team. They have to fight it out between Prema to get their car into the grid. And the only race that isn't capped is Indy, which is at 33. So where's the incentive for somebody to want to come up and run? There isn't.
Yeah.
I especially in IndyCar where having increased car counts is a big deal, but you're limiting it to certain teams is kind of ridiculous. And those teams are limited to three cars or whatever at most,
Yeah.
So I disagree with it completely. I'm not a fan of it.
Yeah. I mean, it just, if the TV and the marketing deals go the way they anticipate them to go, and the series has a growth, not on F1 scale, but I mean, just
it's not.
But if they do make some kind of growth in a trend like fashion, then of how F1 did it, then I mean, yeah, will they make some money? Sure. I don't know.
I'm just gonna go one. What's the reason that you're seeing explosive growth in sports car racing, and with the prototypes and the GT3 card?
Oh yeah, I'm not.
It's called manufacturer involvement. There's 20 something hypercars. Let's just say, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's other teams. There's Hyundai who wants to come in. There's
you know, there's always the Ford speculation, you know, blah, 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 you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. You know, Aston Martin's joining the grid next year. I mean, so why? Because the rule set's, you know, is compatible. You know, there's none of this, you know, capping or anything like that. So, I think these cap grids and stuff, this is going to be the death knell for a lot of motorsport.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see. And then, I mean, because the other thought of it too is, if the idea is to, I guess, ensure your piece of the pie, and that your team is going to be valued at higher than.
Yeah, and this is what it all comes down to, is how much they value the teams. Yep.
I mean, the other thing too is, if they are making it so ridiculous to, one, buy into the sport, and then two, even purchase another team from someone who, if they're willing to sell, then the price might be, they might price themselves out of the market pretty quickly too. Mm-hmm. Because I mean that. I mean, just look at how F1's going. I mean, like, Andretti is getting everything that they need to put it together to make it happen. But, I mean, how many other teams are looking to get into the sport and would even be good potentials that get in there after the initial buy-in has been taking place? So clearly, if you're trying to get an F1, you have enough money to do it all. Like, you're not going to go in and just like put all your chips into the buy-in and then barely scrape by once you've gotten in, because you don't want that bad press either. But I mean, it really is like, I think some of these series are starting to get their egos blown up a bit too big, because mm-hmm. I think they're forgetting what made them great in the first place.
Yeah, and in a lot of cases, a lot of this, what, you know, like in Formula One back in the day when they had a lot of those, you know, one-off. Williams started off as a one-off team.
Mm-hmm.
You had the Wolf team, which was a one-off team. You had Hesketh. You had teams that, you know, people thought were jokes that turn around winning races and stuff like that.
Brown.
You know? The same thing in IndyCar. There were tons of teams back in the, you know, 80s and 90s when it was kart, and, you know, a lot of good drivers and stuff, but there were people could win races, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, hey, we're going to have it down to like 5 or 6 super teams, and that's it.
Yeah.
You know, and there's going to be a lot of talent that's going to be sitting out. I hate this. This is what I fear. Mm-hmm. So, you know.
Yeah.
That's all I have to say about it. I just think it's just, you know.
Yeah.
It's limiting. So.
I guess the only last bit of interesting news that I have is that I saw an article that the F1 track in Miami, they've added this little cut-through piece from the back straight. I'm sorry, there's two back straights. The first long straight that kind of bends a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
They've made a cut through starting there, and then that cuts across the parking lot to somewhere in the middle of that, the really long one that comes out from under the bridge all the way down into that final complex. So they said they've done that to have more track days throughout the year. So I guess they're going to have other events and whatnot. And then the piece that goes. Basically, they tried to eliminate the section that goes under the bridge, because I think that's where traffic comes in and out of, so they don't want the track all the way down that way if they're going to do
gotcha.
Something else. So that the F1 configuration will only be used on F1 weekends. Everything else will be a shorter version of the track, but they have like four layouts, I think it is, of that configuration. So it's at least something for them to do, and it'll be nice to not just have the parking lot be a parking lot the whole year, and you know, you can get a little bit more use out of it if they need to. So, but yeah, that was just an interesting tidbit that I found.
There we go.
But yeah, other than that, I am all out.
All right, so next weekend, Talladega for NASCAR, sports car racing, Indy 8-hour, and F1 is on hiatus.
Yeah, I think there's another MotoGP race this weekend.
Oh, okay. This was tough because those races are they're at bizarre hours right now.
Yeah, but it's still racing.
Still racing, so get your fix.
Mm-hmm.
And on that note,
good night.
Thank you guys for listening to the Red Mist Podcast, hosted by Christian Abbott, Sean Abbott, and Nathan Lavin. It's produced by Christian Abbott, and music is by Alex Wart and Harrison Tate.